Hi everyone, my name is Simon and my wife Maura and I used to be at White Inch a number of years ago. I've got two daughters, one is 11 months and one is 4. Now, thankfully, I've got the flat to myself this morning, so you won't be hearing any crying or screaming or any tantrums. So we can simply be together and share God's word. As you can tell, I'm not from Glasgow originally. I'm from Northampton. Was a missionary kid before that, but then came up to. Bible College from Northampton, and that's where I met my wife Moira, and we sensed a call to urban mission and joined Inner Change in Postle Park, and that's where we now live and serve alongside an Inner Change team. Inner Change teams are very similar to Eden teams that you may know, and we live and serve marginalised communities, and so we've been here since 2013. And we really valued our time at White Inch, and we're so thankful for your continued prayers and support of the work here, and even more so as we come out of lockdown and the things that emerge from that. We're in a different world, and yet we've still got a loving and amazing Saviour that we look to and will continue to look to, and for His guidance in His coming months. And I pray and hope that be the same for you guys. So I'm sharing from John chapter 11, verses 17 to 44 today. And the question that I'm asking is simply this: Where is Jesus when you need him most? Where is Jesus when you need him most? And hopefully I won't keep you too long. But it's a big question, and certainly won't have all the answers to that. But there's a few things I feel like God's laid on my heart to share. So I hope and pray you'll be blessed. But just to say from the beginning, I will be touching on some things that are related to mental health. So if this is a topic that for today actually you don't want to get triggered around, feel free just to stop watching. But if you feel led to continue watching, then I pray and hope that something of what I say will be a blessing to you today. So I'm just going to read from John 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who's to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforted her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odour, for he's been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." So as I said, we're considering the question, using this passage, where is Jesus when you need him most? And as you find in this passage, and maybe I'm a bit slow, but I only just noticed recently that both Martha and Mary asked the same question. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Where were you? Where were you when you needed it most? Now, I know it's been a challenging year for all of us, for obvious reasons. For myself, the last couple of years have been pretty challenging. Unfortunately, my dad, after suffering with his mental health for 10 years, had chronic mental health issues, really, took his own life. And I know, and I'll say this straight away, that was not part of God's plan. And in this passage, and as I'll prove in a minute, Lazarus's death certainly was, God was not the source of his death, and my dad's death was certainly not part of God's plan. There's various reasons for that, but I won't go into today. There's lots of reasons we could try to explore why bad stuff happens, and you know, this is not the topic for this call. But if you are struggling with your mental health today, if it's something that you're just really getting to the end of your tether about, or just actually it's mild or whatever it may be, do be in touch with someone you trust. The church has told me that, you know, I can refer you to Healing for the Heart, healingfortheheart.co.uk, and Shona Sterling, and also Sorsha Ministry. So do be in touch with the pastoral team there at White Inch. You know, don't wait, don't be slow in it. There's no, you know, most of us, majority of us struggle with our mental health from time to time, some of us more than most, so don't be slow in contacting someone if you're struggling this morning. So yeah, as I say, I also, when my dad passed away, just over 2 years ago now, I asked those same questions. You know, why? You know, why? I'd prayed to God for 10 years for my dad to get better. And, you know, after he died, I did ask the question, you know, why? And to be honest, I never really got an answer to that question. And Jesus doesn't answer the question, does he? You know, he doesn't give the backstory that we know. And God often doesn't give us a backstory. And again, I'm not going to go into all the reasons why that is, but to cut a long story short, I'm not sure an answer would help, to be honest. An answer would really get us any closer to be comforted. Maybe it would, but as I say, I'm not going to go into all that. But one thing I know is that for my dad and for this story, Lazarus, God was not the source of his death. And the reason I say that was because if you actually track the story in John 11 closely, you come to the conclusion that Lazarus was already dead and actually probably buried by the time the messengers had arrived to tell Jesus about his sickness. So he was already dead. So Jesus certainly wasn't waiting around in order to wait for Lazarus to die. He was already dead. So why did he wait? Well, in Jewish tradition, as far as I can see from what I read, you know, it's not in my own head, in Jewish tradition, the soul hovers over the body for 3 days. And it's only on the fourth day that the soul departs and the body starts to decay. And so for Jesus to wait an extra 2 days would mean that by the time he arrived, it would be the fourth day, which it was. Which by that time, him doing in the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead would conclusively show that Jesus was raising him from the dead. And it wasn't just some kind of half miracle, as some of the Jews would then probably accuse him of. He truly had power and authority over death. So as I say, it's the enemy, Satan, who is the source of death, destruction and famine, not Jesus, not God. God never intended the world to be as it is today. It was by human will and the enemy's work that we are where we are. But praise be to God, because of Jesus, his kingdom broke in and is breaking in. Hallelujah. But my central message today then is not really going on about what I've just been talking about. But I want to say to you three things, three truths that we can be sure of. Perhaps we don't understand why the suffering happens around us. But three things we can be sure of is this, that in the midst of their grief, God was loving Martha and Mary. It says this repeatedly in verse 3 of chapter 11. It says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is ill. And in verse 5 it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And in verse 36 it says, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Now, just after my dad's funeral, I was lying in bed, and as would be expected, you know, kind of troubled, not understanding what was going on. And Moira just kind of turned over and said, I feel God saying to you the song, Will Your Anchor Hold? And I was like, wow. That's amazing, because Will Your Anchor Hold was a song that I used to sing in the Boys Brigade, and some of you will know the words to that. And so I recited the verses of that hymn, and it was like balm, like healing to my soul. And it spoke to me in that instance that God could hear me. God understood what I was going through. And God wanted to speak to me words of love over me. And so a truth that we see in this scripture is that Jesus was loving. You know, in the midst of their grief, Jesus loved them. And we knew that because of his intensity of his words and of his actions. And God would want to say to you, in the midst of your grief this morning, in the midst of your grief this afternoon, I don't know when this is being aired, that God loves you in the midst of your grief, in the midst of your loss. God never stopped loving you. He always loved you. He loves you today. He loved your loved one. He loves them still. And he's always there. So don't allow the enemy to say anything else. God loves you. The second point I want to say from looking at this passage is that he's grieving with us. He's grieving with us. In 33-38, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. And you know, with the suffering in the world, Jesus, God, suffers with us. And it's really peculiar, this passage, actually, when you think about it, because Jesus is coming knowing what he's about to do. So if I was him, I'd be a bit smug. God, look what I can do. I'm about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Don't worry, you don't need to cry. What are you crying about? I don't need to cry. I'm about to raise Lazarus from the dead. But the reality is, even though that God knows he's bringing in the kingdom, that he's going to make all things new, that he's making all things new, he presently grieves with us. He grieves the losses that we grieve because he loves us, because he is a loving God and he feels our pain. Look how much he was moved by the sorrow of Martha and Mary and those around him. He loves us, he sees us, and he's moved to grieve with us. And he grieves with you today. Whatever you're going through, he grieves. He's not smug. He's not light-hearted about it. He's in the darkness. He's in the dark places. And the Bible says that, you know, we can't hide from God. If we go to the east, north, or west, wherever we go, God is there in the midst of it. And we just have to sometimes go through that grief process. There's nothing wrong with grieving. There's nothing wrong saying, you know, I'm having a hard day just now, remembering the person I've lost. Because God's there with us in that dark place. He's the light that keeps the glue together. He's the light that helps us to see the next day and the next day and the next day after that. And difficulty in church life sometimes is that we might believe that everything's fantastic when you become a Christian. All things will be beautiful. And of course, when we find faith in Jesus, your life is never the same again. But that doesn't mean things will be any easier. In fact, sometimes it's more difficult, because as we usher in the light of Jesus around us, the enemy hates it and will do everything he can to stop us. And yet again and again, Jesus extends his hand and says, "It's okay, I'm with you. I will be your strength. I will be your song. I will be the one with you every step of the way." So Jesus is with us, he grieves with us, and he gives us space to grieve with him too. And the third thing I was going to say, and lastly, is that in this passage, I think the invitation that is that he's inviting us to step out and trust him in the midst of our grief, in the midst of our losses, in the midst of our difficulties, to believe in him, even when we don't get it. You see, John 11 is placed at a certain point. There's different signs in the book of John. I think they talk about seven different signs in the book of John that are kind of indicators, proof that Jesus truly is who he says he is. He truly is the Son of God. He truly is the Messiah. He's truly the one that was prophesied all those years ago. And so these different things that Jesus is doing is to usher the kingdom, but also prove to everyone around him who he is. And this is one of the final signs in the John's Gospel. And if people still don't believe in him by the time that Lazarus is raised from the dead, how on earth are they ever going to believe in anything else after that? And so, but all that to say, to be honest, Jesus is downright rude a little bit in this passage. Can you imagine anybody asking for the grave of a loved one to be opened up? I mean, I'd be like, no, it's not happening. Not yesterday, not today, not tomorrow. No way. I mean, it's downright, it's the audacity of Jesus to ask that. But the truth is, Martha and Mary had journeyed with Jesus for a long time. Mary herself had come to Jesus, clinging to his feet, pouring perfume over him, because she had recognised her sin, she'd recognised her brokenness, and she had poured out her life onto Jesus, recognising that she could trust him. She could trust him with her life, today and tomorrow. And so when Jesus asks certain things of Martha, Mary in this passage, he's extending himself to the faith that they already have. They already believe in him, they already trust him, but he's saying, "Will you trust me this bit more?" And he says to them, the pivotal passage really is a couple of places, is that Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lived by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" I place my faith in Jesus Christ because he is the resurrection and life. And we place our security and our love in all sorts of places. But ultimately, at the end of the world, on Judgment Day, we will stand before God and say, "Did I place my trust in the resurrection and the life, in the joy of the world, in the majesty of Jesus, who came to die for us, to give his life as a ransom for many, to give his life so that we didn't have to pay the penalty for our sin, to die for us, to usher in to life and love. And as we place our trust in him, he gives us that mantle of love and authority in Jesus that we can then go forward and say to the enemy, no more. We, as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, are ushering a new world, a new way, a love which conquers all, and then one day will conquer all. And so today, I think, you know, in this passage, Jesus is stretching our faith. For him to say to Martha, "Take away the stone," I mean, that's a pretty big ask, isn't it? But he's stretching her. He's saying, "Trust me. Trust me. You say you trust me. Well, show me in action." No, it's no point believing in the head or even the heart. You have to believe in action. And so God is calling you to trust him today with something. in the midst of grief, in particular in this passage, that's what it's about. What is God calling you to do today? What is he asking you to do? Did you trust him yesterday? That's fine. But today he's asking you, he's stretching our understanding of who he is. In this passage, they have no idea what Jesus is about to do. They obviously don't from some of their responses. But he calls them to do something which is way beyond their understanding. They don't know what's coming, but that's what faith is all about. Hebrews 10 verse 1 reads, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." We do not see tomorrow. We do not see the outcome of our faith, but what we do know is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he says to us, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Do you want to miss the glory of God? I certainly don't. So let's step out in faith. Let's take on board that Jesus loves us, that he grieves with us, and he calls us to trust in him. God is good. He was good yesterday. He's good today, and he will always be good. It's been a pleasure to share with you. I'm just going to pray and hope that something of what I've said will be a blessing to you. So, Father, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. That for those of us who place our trust in you, you offer life and life abundantly. It's the enemy that comes to destroy, not you. You love us, you grieve with us, and you're calling us to trust in you. That bit extra today. And I pray for those listening, for myself, that you will help us to have the strength and the resolve by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, to be able to do that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's been wonderful to share with you, and hopefully see some of you soon. Bye-bye.